Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Tuesday, October 26, 2021, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. How are y'all doing? I hope fabulous. I really, really, really do. I hope the day is going absolutely great for you, and I just hope it continues to unfold in some really great ways. But if you are already faced with some challenges, let's agree that you'll get everything under control. And if some things have already gone left, may they align right in all the right ways that you need them to. And if stuff seems to be spinning out of control, turn that spin into a dance and use some grace to create a new and a different twirl on things to your situation. In other words, people, if you can fix it, work on fixing it instead of having a big fit. That's my thought and theory. I promise you, life is much too short to sweat the small stuff and some of the big stuff, too, let me tell you. Earlier this month, I talked about how stuff can steal your joy, so don't let it. Take it back. Protect it. By any means necessary. How about that? Yeah, let's give it a shot. You know, there are many things in life that need our attention and our protection in a special way. My special guest knows all about that. She is an award-winning advocate, leader, and lawmaker in the field of domestic violence. It's her life's calling and work, and she's been doing it for many, many, many years. I want to tell you, I could tell you a lot a bit about her, but I'm going to pick a particular area to tell you about her because you know I like having people who know what they're talking about on my show, and she is truly, truly an expert, and I admire her so much. But let me tell you a little bit about her. Right now, she is the domestic violence specialist at the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, Child Protective Services. She's also adjunct faculty at Texas State University. She was the executive director, but still very much, on board with the National Center on Domestic and Sexual Violence. She was acting chief of staff at the acting chief of staff some years ago at the Texas House of Representatives. She was a partner at Tucker, Buell, and Associates. She was the executive director at the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And if you haven't heard enough, well, let me tell you some more about her. She was also the executive director of the Texas Council on Family Violence, president and partner at Ariadne Associates. She was the executive director for the Austin Center for Battered Women. She was special projects coordinator for Texas Healthcare Association, assistant director at Austin Rape Crisis Center, and also worked at the Austin State School for the Deaf and Blind. Listen, she's somebody I hold in the greatest esteem, and I tell you, for her to even carve out a few minutes of her day to spend it with me, with us, to talk about something that's so important, I truly, truly esteem and honor this lady. She is Debbie Tucker. And Debbie, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, my dear, I'm delighted to get to be with you. It's been way too long. We have a lot of things that we both care about deeply. I love you quoting Malcolm X, by any means necessary. And we continue in our work together to try to help people understand and live stronger and better lives and strengthen their relationships and their ties to the community. So thank you for giving me a chance to talk about Domestic Violence Awareness Month and how important it is for all of us to live free from fear and to encourage safety and well-being for everyone around us. So take it away, my dear. What would you like for me to be sure and share with everybody?
Well, I love the theme that you have for this month, Everyone Knows Someone. And without giving a whole lot of details about the people that I have known, I could actually say everyone knows three or four or five people maybe. I knew at least five women in my life and around the same time who were all experiencing this, and I did not know. And so one of the reasons I love presenting you, Debbie, is because of your extensive understanding of those could-be situations for any woman or man, and explaining to us how we can understand it and how we can approach it. Because once I understood it, so many people that were close to me, women that were close to me, I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken that I missed what was going on. And so can you speak to how the theme was developed and some of the ideas surrounding it?
Yes, ma'am. I think that you're right that so many times when we become more aware, we look back and we realize that's what was going on. I didn't understand it. I saw there was something wrong, but I didn't know what to say or how to be helpful or how to even ask. And so one of the things that Sarah Buell and I did for the National Center on Domestic and Sexual Violence is develop the five things to say as a tool to assist people to get past that first hump of actually speaking out when your spirit and your senses tell you that something's wrong. Then it's important to follow that. And even though we worry that people might be somehow offended or back away from us if we ask, what we learned was that no matter who it was, when we asked a victim of violence, who talked to you, who was helpful, they would dig out a business card perhaps, or quickly say, my best friend or my sister or, you know, my neighbor spoke up and said, I'm worried for you. There's something wrong. And that helped me to realize that the secret that I was keeping was something that other people were picking up on. So many times victims are embarrassed, and then they're also afraid. The person who's been using violence often tells the person they're harming that if you tell anyone, it will be a lot worse for you, or it will be a lot worse for your children or your family. So you just do what I tell you to do, and it'll be fine. And so that's where the expression that we have, walking on eggshells, comes from, because initially victims are shocked. They didn't expect this person with whom they were having a relationship to hurt them. They were expecting to be loved and honored. And when things start to happen where the person is using violence or threatening them and they're shocked, they don't know how to react, and they believe that it probably is something that they did or said that set it off, rather than understanding very quickly that the person threatening or using violence is actually responsible for that choice, and that their behavior has very little to do with that. I'll give you one example. When I worked at the Austin Center for Battered Women, which is now called SAFE here in Austin, Texas. I got a call late one day from a man who said, I'm in my car on my way home, and I'm trying to think of a reason that I'm going to give her for hitting her. And I realized that was pretty weird. I realized there must be something wrong with how I'm thinking, that I'm searching for an excuse, for a reason to give her that's her fault, but I'm planning on hitting her. Can you help me? And as it turned out, quick story, that gentleman was one of the first that got involved with us, worked hard with us to do outreach, mostly to men. There are some women, but mostly men are the ones who use violence against their partners and family members. And he was integral to developing an approach that helped us reach people so that they would stop using violence. That's the ultimate goal. But Domestic Violence Awareness Month is a time each year in October where we ask all of us to think about and be aware that domestic violence is being used and does cause great harm to women, children, and some men, but it also harms the men who are using it. Because as we've done a lot more battering intervention and prevention work, we find out how deeply internally affected men often are who've harmed others by their choices. Another quick example of that, a man was telling me that he was walking in to the house. His wife and children were all laughing and happy and you know, obviously having a good time. And then they saw him, and everybody froze. And they stopped laughing, and they stopped smiling, and then they began to show that they were afraid of him. And he said, you know, I realize this is not who I want to be. I want to be part of the laughter and the fun. I don't want everybody to be scared of me. That was another wake-up moment for an individual who changed. So, you know, we've got to think about supporting the victims, and we've also got to think about challenging and encouraging the persons who are using violence to stop. And the silence for any of those people, whether they're being harmed or using harm, contributes to it continuing. So it is better to speak up, even if we don't find the perfect words. But I do want to share with y'all the sort of five things to say that Sarah and I have used, and they've been pretty successful in helping people to break that ice and to get the conversation going. So the first one is, I'm afraid for your safety. Secondly, I'm afraid for the safety of your children. Third, it will only get worse if nothing changes. Fourth, I am here for you to help and to support you. And fifth, no one deserves to be abused. So, Silverway, what do you think is the most powerful of those five things?
Well, I can say this, all of them, if I were on the hearing end of that, I probably need to hear all of them. I was sitting here thinking that those situations are so delicate, and as you said, the embarrassment is strong, the judgment that they feel they'll get, and all of those feelings that would, you know, prevent somebody from wanting to admit that they've been allowing themselves to live that way. I think that it would take all of those, and maybe in the same 2 minutes, you know, or maybe
if
in
they
the,
all
you know,
build on
two
each
or three
other.
Encounters. Yeah.
But I can tell you that for the vast majority of victims, having someone say, no one deserves to be abused, is the one that they tell us had the greatest effect. Because over and over, the person using violence has tried to make it the victim's fault and has alleged that if you hadn't said or done this, I wouldn't have hit you or I wouldn't have yelled at you or threatened to harm you. They try to make it be the other person's fault rather than take responsibility for the choice that they're making to behave in that way. It really doesn't matter what an adult woman or child has done. There isn't a justification for harming them.
No.
And so being able to reiterate sometimes, you don't deserve this. No one deserves this. I don't care what you said. I don't care if you spent more money at the grocery store than you were supposed to. I don't care if the house wasn't clean. None of those things matter. What matters is you should be safe and respected. And a partner is a person who is supposed to stand by you, encourage you, make things better in your life. And when they don't,
right,
you've got to ask what's going on with them, not question yourself.
There's two things I want to ask you to help us with, and that one where you just said not question yourself, I would like for you to speak to, because I know you know the insecurities women feel when they feel like maybe I am responsible. I'd like for you to speak to talking about releasing themselves from those feelings. And then the other thing that I feel will be really helpful, time is going by so fast, Debbie, the other thing I feel is helpful is to speak to the men, because just because they are men, they find it real difficult, I am positive, to own up to a situation like this. And you said something about the very deep embedded things that they feel. And I just know from the limited amount of, you know, I have enough psychology background just to be dangerous with it, as they say. But but I do know when we get to that point where we can understand ourselves better, we can heal. When we can really get to the point where we understand a lot of that stuff and let it go, let the parts go that need to be let go, let the other parts heal, understand that other people's judgments of us are not going to be, they don't have to be anything. We have to do that work and feel okay about ourselves, even when we've done very bad or harmful things. And so I'd like for you to speak to that aspect of it for the men. So speak to the women about those insecure thoughts and feelings that they go through emotionally, and then if you could say a few things about men coming forth and having the courage to do that.
Absolutely. Yes, both of the things that you've talked about are key elements in the process of recognizing what's going on and creating change. And so many times the victims do accept more responsibility. If I just hadn't said this, if I had done what he asked me to do, and not said to themselves, wait a minute, this is unrealistic. This is not what a partner does. This is not my daddy telling me that I need to be home by X time. This is my husband, my boyfriend, who should be saying, I'm looking forward to seeing you this evening, and shouldn't care, and shouldn't be saying to me, you better be here by 7 o'clock or else. So that kind of thing of helping people understand the difference between partnership and respect versus control and power and making rules. And when you talk about with men who have engaged in this sort of conduct with their partners, and you help them peel back the attitudes and beliefs that have led them to a place of defining manhood as controlling others rather than controlling themselves, and taking responsibility to treat the people around them with care and respect, it's transformative. Once they see that perhaps they adopted attitudes and beliefs that keep them from really having any true intimacy or deep contact with the people in their lives, because they're keeping everybody at arm's length and they're telling them what to do, and that isn't a real relationship. When they have that breakthrough, it is amazing to watch and to see how they can grow and change. And many times, even a couple, 3 years later, when I have run on to somebody who's completed the 18-week, we do 18 weeks in Texas, battering intervention and prevention program, when they've completed that, a couple of years later, they're like, oh my gosh, Debbie, hi. Let me tell you, things are great. We have such a good life now, and I can't even really believe how we lived before. And thank you. And so you can see that it makes a difference for the men, too, to be released from all of this stuff that they've been carrying and that they've been acting off of that damaged their relationships and made their lives miserable at the same time. So the difference here
is, very
unfortunate. For women, the danger is, unfortunately, to their very existence, because some men go all the way to the point of murder. Here in Texas, we generally lose about 200 women a year, and across the whole United States and the territories, we lose about 2,000 women each year from a domestic violence partner killing them. For the men, it is much less likely those who use abuse that they will be killed, although some are killed in self-defense. For the most part, the damage to them is that they lose those relationships with people, because before too long, victims who can will leave. And, more and more we recognize that having a place to go, having friends and family who support the victims, they will leave a partner who is using violence or belittling and harming them emotionally and in other ways. And so it helps for those who use violence and threaten and harm others to realize that ultimately they're going to lose the relationship they have today, and they're going to lose any relationship they start tomorrow if they don't change, because the vast majority of victims leave. So I don't remember what else I wanted to say, but I do want people to understand that yes, this is incredibly serious conduct, and it has a huge impact on the well-being of individuals and families and people who are being raised in those families. But at the same time, we have learned so much in the last 40 years that we have tried hard to understand this and to make a difference, and we are seeing change, and we are seeing people set aside these old beliefs and behaviors in favor of building strong partnerships and families where everyone's well-being is assured.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for all of that information. I could talk to you all afternoon about this, because I really do want people to know that there's an opportunity. You know, it's very challenging when you're on either side of that to realize what you've just said, that there is change and there has been change. These programs, like you said, you spent years and years developing them and understanding all of the things from A to Z that are the cause and creation of it, but there are ways to get help and get healed. And so I guess our next thing would be to tell people, I know these numbers have been available and websites and all of that for a long time, but if there's anything, any new news that you'd like to share about a couple of programs that are really good and available. I know you mentioned the Better's intervention. That's certainly critical. But mention anything else that you would as far as anyone who wants to reach out to get some help at this point.
Well, of course, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE, is there 24/7 for all the states and territories for people to call and to not only get some immediate thoughts and assistance, but to be connected to local programs that might provide some ongoing support. So that is an incredibly important resource. And just in the last month, the National Domestic Violence Hotline announced that they have secured enough funding that they are going to start another line that is strictly for and designed to respond to people who are using violence, so that there will be a real group of folks prepared to better assist those PUVs, as I call them, persons using violence, as well as the National Domestic Violence Hotline continue to support victims and their families and their friends. You know, a lot of people call the hotline who say, I'm worried about my best friend. What should I say? What should I do? That's a perfectly acceptable and helpful call to make. So 1-800-799-SAFE. I don't know yet what the number will be for persons using violence, but that is in the works and coming. And they do call a lot on their own, as I gave those couple of examples of people that I've worked with who call the domestic violence agency in their community and ask for assistance. Every state and territory also has a coalition office, so that may be a place to contact for information about what's available nearest to you if you don't already know the name and number of the program in your own community. So there are resources, there are sources of support and information to guide us all, whether we are the victim, the person using violence, friend, family, neighbor. There's help to take those steps to try to increase safety and stop the use of violence.
Is there anything, Debbie, that you'd like to speak to the men, women who will seek help or need to, just as an encouragement, just a couple words of encouragement to do that? I know, as we said, and you said more succinctly, those feelings of embarrassment and all of that. Could you just say a couple of things to encourage them to call?
I think all of us are embarrassed and confused, whether we are on the receiving end of violence or whether we find ourselves questioning that we've been using violence and wondering, what is the deal with me? Why do I do this kind of thing? So talk to people who've been there too. A lot of the people who are involved in answering those phones have themselves been victims or have been persons who've used violence and have committed themselves to trying to help others. So the calling to the programs or the national hotlines, they're going to get a person who does understand, who does not stand apart from them, but stands beside them, understanding that it is difficult, that you don't want to admit to anyone initially that the person who you thought would love you and put you above all others is in fact treating you in such a terrible way, and you don't want to admit that you have harmed the people closest to you, and that there really is no reason for it, that it's something you've been doing that you see is harmful and that you regret. So speaking truth to yourself and beginning to speak truth with others who understand are among the first steps to building a much, much happier and well deserved life. You know, a lot of people do come through this. Many, many times the impression is that domestic violence agencies only want people to separate. But what we've learned is, and that's part of why we started battering intervention, is talking with victims. They would say, thank you for giving me a place for me and my children to feel safe. Now, what are we going to do for him? How are we going to get him to stop hurting us? And that's listening to them is what caused us to realize offering shelter and support is just part of the equation. We also have to get at the source and talk with those who are choosing to use violence, or we'll never end it. And so we had to evolve to a place where we could treat with respect those individuals and model for them that it is possible to create change in your life and to be a person that you can trust and respect yourself.
Well, Debbie, I want to thank you again. I appreciate you taking the time today, and you know, I've reached out to you on several occasions, and I know what your schedule has been like and life has been like, but you taking the time today meant a lot to me. I really do try to deliver very empowering, important information to my audience, and this is certainly one that's in my top five concerns. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I hope everyone listening does recognize that everyone does know someone and that there are ways to speak up, to provide encouragement for change, and that we need everybody in order to stop this. Don't turn away when your gut is telling you something's not right here. Go ahead and take the risk of extending a hand and indicating I will be there for you, whether it's to deal with being harmed or whether it's to learn to not hurt anyone else around you. I'll be there. Those are powerful, powerful words. So any of us can make a difference.
Well, I am certainly glad that you are on the front line with this. They couldn't have a better person doing it. Your voice, your heart, all of it speaks to that, and it's so obvious how much all of this means to you. And, again, it's a lot to me to have you as my guest.
Well, thank
today.
You, Durden.
And I really do
good luck with the rest of your show today, and
thank
be
you.
In touch again soon, okay?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You stay blessed and enjoy the rest of your day. I'll reach out to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye now.
Take care, please. Hello there, caller. Did you want to contribute? Did you have a question? Comment?
Oh, hi. Thank you for courageously bringing this subject out to open discussion. I was thinking of asking about and your guest about statements for people that speak to us. I think Debbie mentioned, a lot of people call the hotline, or but when it comes to being able to reach a person that you know is going through domestic violence and knowing exactly what to say, a lot of times people don't have a place that they can actually offer them for shelter. So it seems to me it's pretty awkward often to know some encouraging words or some way to help them to open up about what's going on in their life so that they can know that they don't have to suffer and accept that treatment. So I was just thinking of asking your guest, but I can ask you as well, some empowering statements or some ways to help a person to open up, because a lot of times women don't want to tell the truth about what they're dealing with. So I was just looking for some feedback on that subject.
Well, earlier in the conversation, she mentioned five things, and I'm going to try to remember as many of them as I can. Most of them, the one she said most people respond to best is when you tell someone that no one deserves to be treated this way. And I'm paraphrasing it, I think, but she said something to that effect, that that's the one that seems to resonate with a victim, is that no one deserves to be harmed in this way. She also said that one of the things that could open the door to a conversation is saying, I'm concerned for you. In other words, I'm concerned for your children. Those are the three that I remember right now, but I will reach out to her so I can post that. I think that is important information. I'm glad that that kind of hung with you as an important thing to make sure a person knows that they need to say. She did say, you probably heard her say that when they call, that they are going to be talking to people who they really are going to be able to be side by side with, which I think is important, meaning that they're going to understand, they're not going to criticize and judge and, you know, say things that would make the situation worse about how a person may already be feeling. So that's great that you brought that up, because I didn't jot them down. I actually kept looking at the clock because I knew Debbie had to leave within a 30-minute slot. But I will.
I am sorry,
reach out
I missed
to
that. Sorry, I missed that.
Well, you
I
can listen to the replay.
Yeah, thank you. I've had a little trouble getting connected to your talk show, and so apologize for being repetitive there.
Oh, no problem. As I said, I'm glad you brought that up. And do keep in mind, you can easily link this online, and it's probably easier to listen to. But I'm glad you called. I think that was divine. So don't apologize for anything. But you can listen to the replay, and you'll hear what she suggested were those five approach questions to individuals, and apparently they've learned with doing it that those are the things that more easily open up conversation. And the thing that I love the most about the conversation with her is that she said change is happening, and that, I mean, if anything needs to change, this certainly gets better. The numbers that she mentioned are just, you know, it's horrible to think about the numbers of women who are experiencing this day to day, and the numbers of women losing their lives is just saddening. So I'm glad to hear there is some change. And, you know, I think for any of us, we need to get to that point where we can be truthful about where we are, even in our bad and wrong stuff, so that we can get it right. As I mentioned earlier in my intro, life is too short, and there are so many opportunities now to make things right for yourself and your own life. And I want to leave you with that encouragement to do that, regardless of what you think you've done or experienced or whatever. there's the opportunity. If you're still living and breathing, there's an opportunity to change that. You heard me say you can spin things, you can change things, and I just will hope that you will look at that in the face of any difficulty, and especially something as challenging as this, and know that it can be better and life can be better for you. And Debbie said that as well. I want to mention to you that I have a couple of books. I've been tooting my horn about that on every show, and I hope you'll check it out. I've got my book that I wrote a few years ago called What is Faith? And there's a lot of little short quips and quotes and entries in there that I'm hoping will give you some insights to faith and to help strengthen yours. And then my newest book came out a few months ago. I've been working on that book for so long, but I've learned that some of these projects, you just don't get the whole vibe of it, you know, when you start it, and layers of it happen as you go. But anyway, it's called Stay in the Ring, and it's one that helps you beat discouragement. And I really want you to take a look on Amazon. Both those books are Amazon. It really helps you beat discouragement and beat the thoughts of giving up in life when so many things can happen to make you want to feel that way. I just want you to know I'm one of those people that could have given up numerous times, but you know what? I'm staying in the ring. That's my story. Okay, so I'm going to look forward to talking to you next time. I got a few things on board coming up again this week, and a few things next month, some special guests for next month. So I'm going to look forward to talking to you then. In the meantime, I want you to take care. Be good, be blessed, and be awesome. Mm-hmm.